It's time for From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine with Kreshap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around, trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Shortgrass is presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine and brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Shortgrass, here's your host, Trey Schaff.
Welcome to another edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. David Lingmerth was born in Trenos, Switzerland, and when you do a quick Google search of most notable people from Switzerland, most of them are hockey players. You don't expect to find many golfers, although you do find Annika Sørenstam, and yes, David Lingmerth's name does pop up. But David came to the United States because of golf, wanted to play golf in the United States, and he had to find somewhere where it was warm, so he started out his collegiate career in Florida before transferring to the University of Arkansas, where he helped Brad McMakin and the Arkansas Razorbacks finish runner-up in the NCAA championships, falling one victory behind Texas A&M in the match play of the NCAA championships. After his college days were over, he knew he wanted to be a professional golfer. He has parlayed that into a career on the PGA Tour with a win at Jack's Place, the Memorial. Yes, a playoff win at the Memorial. You'll hear more about that coming up in this episode. At UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, they are dedicated to keeping you in the game, from sports injuries to joint replacement. They provide world-class care right here in Arkansas. Call 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today and get back to living pain-free. I'm back with David Lingmerth after this. Stay with us.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine is taking golf to the next level. As the official orthopedics and sports medicine provider for Razorback Athletics, UAMS Health covers all 19 Razorback sports programs, including golf, and is the official medical partner of the Simmons Bank Championship presented by Stevens. They're also proud to sponsor professional golfers Ken Duke and Glenn Day. Have a golf injury? Call Ortho at 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today. That's 501-686-8674.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. David Lingmerth was born in Trenos, Sweden, and now makes Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida, his home. He went to the University of West Florida before transferring to the University of Arkansas to continue his education, all while playing golf for those two institutions. He has won 3 times as a professional, and he's played in every major. On the tee, David Lingmerth.
David, thanks for joining me on From the Shortgrass. Do you remember the first time, born in Sweden, do you remember the first time you picked up a golf club?
I guess vaguely, yes. I started when I was about 7, and it was really, in my case, I bugged my dad enough, you know, wanted to follow him out when he was trying to play with his friends or you know, cousins that live in town too, and I kept on, you know, can I come? And a lot of the times it was a no, but when I did, you know, I got bit by it and started in some junior programs there and just picked it up slowly. I didn't really start playing many tournaments till I was, you know, maybe local tournaments around 9, but really more kind of seriously around 12 or so.
When I think of Sweden, though, mm-hmm. David, I think of snow skiing.
Yeah.
I think of cold.
Yeah.
I think of not golf.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'd be correct. But Sweden's really cool because the summers are really long and the winters are really long. Like summertime, it's great because we can have dinner and then go out and play 9 holes. Like mm-hmm. it's light outside that late. So that's one of the great parts. And golf is very affordable in Sweden. They make it great for juniors to be able to play and practice and get access in ways that really help, you know, get a lot of kids into it. And, you know, the parents don't have to break the bank to you know, expose their kids to the game and get them in tournaments, even, you know, a few hours away from home and stuff like that. They make it happen in a very affordable way. So it's a great place, you know, to kind of hone your skills in the summer with golf. But I played a lot of ice hockey too. So I had my summers filled of golf and winters were ice hockey.
Yeah. And it seems to me like being a hockey player, pretty strong with the wrist and the arms, that you can really hit the golf ball too, right?
Well, a lot of hockey players are fairly good at golf and they hit it a mile. I've played with a few NHL players in the last few years, and it's impressive. They can boom it.
You were talking earlier about your dad. You know, you had to beg him to take you to the golf course. Mm-hmm. When he finally did start taking you on the regular, mm-hmm. is that when you really just like, okay, this is what I want to do?
Yeah, I mean, I just, when I was old enough, the city I was in town, was pretty small. So I would just put the golf bag on my back and take my bike out to the golf course, which was on the other side of town, 15 minutes with the bike.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I would follow him out early on, but then, you know, I would just do it myself. And some of my hockey teammates were playing golf as well. So we kind of became a little good group of friends there. And there were some older guys too that, you know, I looked up to and try to, you know, emulate what they were doing and trying to compete with them. I've always been very competitive. So just the competitive aspect of anything really kind of, you know, drives me and what I like to do. So, you know, I got into that mindset pretty early and just kind of took it upon myself, I guess, pretty early to, you know, make it happen, these bike rides out to the golf course. I'd bike out in the morning in the summer, have, you know, bike home for lunch, then bike out again in the afternoon and just, you know, try to spend as much time as I could out there, really.
Were you self-taught or did you have an instructor?
I did have an instructor and they were always very, very kind, both at the, you know, at the local club level, with, you know, helping and creating a great environment for kids to learn and get exposed to, you know, tournaments and aspects of golf that was fun for kids. So, you know, it was a great environment. But, you know, I kind of did a lot myself too. Just, I was not a range rat in any way. Like I was doing a lot of putting and chipping. I mm-hmm. spent hours just on the putting and chipping green.
Well, that's where the strokes are made. That's where you can win.
Right, right. And my parents, you know, you had to pay for range balls and stuff. And that's not what my parents really wanted me to spend money on and stuff like that. So eventually I kind of, at 12 years old, I started working out there and picked the range and stuff like that. And that gave me access to eventually start hitting a lot more balls and things like that. But yeah, it was just fun to be out there with friends. And, you know, I just, like I said, try to spend long days out there and just because I loved it.
When did you decide to come to the United States?
Yeah, so I went to kind of like an academy for golf in high school. And when I decided to go there, I had already decided in my mind that I was going to be a professional golfer. I didn't
early
know,
on.
Yeah, pretty early on, like 15, 16.
Yeah.
But I didn't know where that was going to be. Like, I was a pretty good player, but I wasn't elite, let's say. You know, there were other Swedish guys that were way better than me, and I was certainly competitive, but not the guy, right? So, you know, I always had to work my way, and so I went to this academy, and I felt like everybody was better than me type thing, and just worked hard in this high school environment with a great coach, Hans Larsson, who's now Ludvig Åberg's coach. We went to the same place and so got the same sort of teachings. But it wasn't really till kind of late in that high school environment that I realized maybe the college route is the way for me. And so I started the process of looking into options and... At that time, I think it's better now, but at that time, the materials that were out there to try to learn about schools and what might be good for a golf program or whatever, like maybe I was in the blind, but I just didn't feel like there were a lot of resources to figure out which path to take type deal. So I kind of zoned in on trying to find a place in Florida.
Where it was warm. Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't on the other side of the country, so I could, you know, maybe easier get back to Sweden if I, you know, needed to come home for summer or Christmas or whatever. But so I zoned in on Florida and didn't get, you know, a lot of reactions from the bigger universities like Florida State or Florida or whatever. So I went to a D2 school in West Florida, which... They were ranked number one in D2, and Coach Fell there is doing an amazing job. He's still there, and he was really good to me and really good to my teammates, and I went there. I missed the fall semester of 06, so I joined the spring semester of 07, and I loved it. We played great tournaments. We, you know... had great experiences. We won a lot, and you know, I played pretty good and built a resume. I did, however, kind of realize early on that, you know, to be the best that I can be, which was always my goal, like I don't know if it's going to lead to the PGA Tour or where it's going to lead, but I want to be as good as I can be, and I kind of thought that I needed to compete against the best. I wanted to play D1. And so I decided to transfer after that first semester. And then I got some attention from Arkansas and a few other schools. And ended up at Arkansas.
What led you to Arkansas? Was it Brad McMakin? Was it the fact that the Blessings Golf Club and the facility that Mr. Tyson built, did that entice you?
All of it. It was, I visited... four schools, I think, and got attention from other schools too. But after the trip to Arkansas, you know, it just hit a chord with me. You know, it had everything that I was looking for. It had great facilities, you know, practice and the golf course, and access to actually playing golf on the golf course. Some programs you struggle a little bit with, you know, we have these courses available, but there's also a ton of other, you know, players trying to play at the same time that are, you know, amateurs or whatever. And at the Blessings, we had like almost unlimited access. We can go play whenever we wanted throughout the day. And that's always felt like that's been super important to me, because I never grew up as a range rat, like I said before. I know that sort of practice is important, but I think you learn how to play golf on the golf course. You don't get to hit the same shot twice out there when you're competing. You know, there's different winds, different, you know, types of lies and angles you got to learn to manage. So just the fact that we had the Blessings and we could play it as much as we wanted, that was huge. And then just a great city, right? Fayetteville, you have the whole state behind your back. There's nothing else really that the state cares as deeply about as the Razorbacks. So, I mean, I just felt like a lot of things aligned. And on top of that, like I was becoming a good player, but I still felt like I had a ways to go. And at the time, Arkansas hadn't had such a great run. So I felt like I can go here and I'm going to get to play. And I'm going to, you know, learn a lot from that. So I think that's important too.
The first time you heard the hog call.
Yeah.
What was your reaction to that?
Yeah. I guess before the first game, I guess some of my new teammates there at Arkansas had kind of prepped me on it a little bit. So it didn't surprise me, but I did, you know, it was kind of weird to begin with, I'm not going to lie. But I think it's something that's unique to the university. It's pretty cool that it's, you know, been the tradition at Arkansas for so long. And yeah, it's nice being a Hog.
Coming in into a program that had expectations but hadn't really sniffed those expectations, and then you helping get that program up to the top, one of the tops in the country. How did that make you feel?
You know, it felt great to be able to make some sort of impact. I don't want to take too much credit as it relates to that. You know, Coach McMakin has done an amazing job there, and he knows how to recruit. He knows how to develop. He knows how to, you know, his coaching style was different than what I was used to from Sweden, but it was something I needed for me. You know, he looks for guys that are driven, that, you know, wants to put in the work, wants to learn, and then, you know, all he does is wants you to go out there and execute. And, you know, it was kind of straightforward to me, and I already had, like, a certain drive that I think he recognized, so I felt appreciated by him, and that was big. And, yeah, I don't know. Sorry, I kind of rambled on here. I forgot your initial question there. But
it was about, you know, you helping put the Razorbacks towards the top.
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, my first year, I guess when I came in, we were ranked like 90th or something. And, you know, we had Andrew Landry returning for his second year at Arkansas. He had played 1 year at Lamar with Coach McMakin there before. And Landry, we all recognize as a very, very good player. And then I kind of stepped in that number two role right away. And then, you know, we kind of had a little bit of a 1-2 punch, let's say, and we kind of helped, you know, some of the other teammates, you know, kind of pulled them along a little bit, and they, you know, did a great job that first year. I don't know how successful we were, how great we did, but when my second year came around, you know, the culture kind of, you know, you could tell that we could do more. We mm-hmm. we wanted more. And, you know, in 09 there, I think we finished with seventh straight second place finishes. We didn't win in that final little stretch, but we played some really, really good golf. We finished second at SEC, second at regionals, and we were an inch about away from winning the national championship too. So, It was a great journey. I mean, and considering it was just, you know, a couple of years earlier we were ranked 90th, that was a big achievement.
You turned pro right after college. What was your trek like to the PGA Tour?
Yeah, so I was fortunate enough to turn pro there summer of 2010. I played a couple mini tour events. It really wasn't more than that until I started my Q school journey. And it's competitive, this professional golf thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I almost missed the pre-qualifier in Q school, almost missed it. It was only by a couple of shots I made it through to even go to first stage. But I made it through first stage. I battled super hard. I think I made one or two triple bogeys in second stage and managed to just make enough birdies to just barely squeak into finals. And, you know, I didn't, you could qualify directly to the PGA Tour at finals that year. And I missed that, but I got full status on the, what's now the Korn Ferry Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And, So pretty much, you know, right away with some luck and obviously a little bit of good play too. I mean, it's not all luck, but you know, you gotta have some good breaks. So I had a job right away, and it was great to be able to take that step so quick, because there's a lot of golfers that are way better than me that, you know, their journey was a lot longer to eventually even have a Korn Ferry Tour, you know, status. So, yeah, but it was a change going from the college life to having a job on the professional circuits. And it was an adjustment period, but it took me I actually finished 27th, I think, the first year on the Korn Ferry Tour. After a slow start, I kind of finished that first year really good. But I finished 27th, and I just kind of knew in my mind that that was a great learning year, and I was going to go get it next year, and I did.
You did.
Yeah.
Made it to the PGA Tour, and then once you got to the PGA Tour, your lone win came at a pretty special place.
Memorial. Yeah, I had some close calls, but I was able to make it 2015 in the playoff there against Justin Rose. Get my first and only win so far. I have hopes I can add to that at some point, but you know, that was a special one at Jack's Place.
I was going to say, what was it like winning at Jack's Place and him being just off the 18th green?
Yeah, no, it was, you know, amazing. I mean, I'm one that, you know, I set high goals for myself, and I have dreams, and, you know, been fortunate enough to achieve, you know, quite a few of them, but you never know if you're going to get to win on the PGA Tour, and to just be able to, you know, achieve that was a huge moment. And for one of the legends of the game to stand there and shake your hand and eventually give you the trophy, that's hard to put into words for a kid from a little town in Sweden to you know, that was awesome.
Growing up in Sweden, were you able to watch much golf? Obviously the time difference.
Yeah, I mean, we had, you know, probably more access to the European Tour, mm-hmm, than the PGA Tour, obviously, at some stage, especially throughout my high school years. You know, a lot of people that were around, they were wanting to tune in to the professional, you know, golf on the PGA Tour on TV. So, yeah, I watched a fair bit, but mostly majors and some European Tour. But I always kind of had, you know, the PGA Tour as my ultimate goal.
David, what would you say to some youngster or maybe even someone that is just trying to start out in this game? Why should they stick with it?
You know, it's all about, I guess, your inner drive and what you want to do. And if you have something that you want to do, I don't think there's any reason to set any limits on yourself. If you set your mind to want to do something, like, just go for it. Believe in yourself. Don't second guess it. Just, you know, you got to have an inner drive. You got to have dedication. It's not always going to be glamorous or fun, or, you know, you have bad days, but you can't let that, you know, deter you from what your goal is. You just got to be, you know, you got to have some patience with it. But, I mean, I actually think that anyone can achieve just about anything if they set their mind to it. And I was always pretty good at golf, but I didn't become as good as I needed to be until I realized that I got to see myself as that player that I want to be. I got to see myself battling with the best of the best down the stretch and be able to handle it before I can actually do it. And so just, I had like a mindset switch, and I almost remember it happening, because I felt like I had proved myself against some quality players in the past, but I just didn't do it on a consistent level. And I sat down with my uncle, who's the first ever Swedish kicker in the NFL. And,
okay.
Kickers, they got to have a certain type of mindset too. And he kind of instilled in me this importance, I guess, of your mindset. And we were sitting down in the summer of 08, and we were watching the U.S. Amateur on TV. And I'm watching these guys hit tremendous shots under what seemed like tremendous pressure. And I'm like in awe type deal. And he's just sitting there with me. And he says, next year, you're going to be right there on the US amateur venue. And you're going to hit those shots too. And I'm like, really? Like, you think I can do that? Like, and it was, I remember it so, because it was so strong to me in the way he said it, like mm-hmm. it actually struck with me. And yeah, from that day, I just started seeing myself that way. And 09 comes around, I make it to the US Amateur, and we're right here at Southern Hills in Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I play pretty good. I make it to match play. I win a couple rounds. I eventually lost in the quarterfinal to Ben Martin, who ended up lose in the final. But that moment, like I said, it was very, very big for me in just a shift in my mindset. Like I had to believe that I could do it. And yeah,
that's how that happens.
That's how it happens.
Yeah. Crazy how that happens sometimes. Best golf course you've ever played?
I don't know. I mean, there's...
Because you've played almost every one of them.
I've played so many good ones. I've gotten spoiled throughout the years. I mean, the tournaments, I mean, you can't beat Augusta National. You can't beat the Masters. I also got to play the British Open on St. Andrews. Mm-hmm. And British Open is special anywhere, but you can't tell me that it's better anywhere else than St. Andrews. That's just historic grounds, and I feel very fortunate to have been able to do that. But besides, like, majors and tournament golf, like, I had an awesome experience. It all depends, you know, when you were the fun group of guys and you have great weather, like, that can, you know, shape your view of a golf course and stuff like that. But I was able to have just an amazing day at Cypress Point 2 not too long ago, and, you know, that was very memorable.
Fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you and three other golfers you would like to play a round of golf with, who would they be?
Oh, my. Yeah, this is always hard. But, you know, I moved over when I was pretty young, so I'm a big family guy, too. I just, you know, if I can get out there with my dad and my grandpa, and, you know, I have two brothers that play a lot.
Make it a foursome.
My mom plays, too, but I'll probably say my brothers and my dad and my grandpa, yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Boring answer, I know, but
no,
that's how I feel.
Hey, it's all about you. Yeah. So that's it. That's perfect. David, thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group is the leader in the state in managing hotel properties. From El Dorado to Jonesboro to Fayetteville to Kansas City and back home in Little Rock, you will find a Beachwood Pinnacle managed hotel property. Are you looking for a weekend staycation? Book the Hilton Garden Inn located on Rock Street and enjoy the Agassi 7 rooftop bar with fantastic views of the Little Rock skyline. Open Sunday through Thursday evenings from 4 to 11 and Friday and Saturday from 5 to midnight. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group.
UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine is taking golf to the next level. As the official orthopedics and sports medicine provider for Razorback Athletics, UAMS Health covers all 19 Razorback sports programs, including golf, and is the official medical partner of the Simmons Bank Championship presented by Stevens. They're also proud to sponsor professional golfers Ken Duke and Glenn Day. Have a golf injury? Call Ortho at 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today. That's 501-686-8674. Welcome back to From the Shoregrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I want to thank Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, one of our great sponsors of From the Shoregrass, Matthew Allen and Blair Allen. They know how to manage hotel properties. BPHotels.com is where you find them on the web. Go there when you need an overnight place to stay and find one of their properties and then book it. You'll be glad you did. I want to thank David Lingmerth for taking time out of his busy schedule and sitting down with me to talk a little golf. It was interesting to get some of his thoughts on the game and how he grew up playing the game in Sweden. If this is your first time hearing about From the Shoregrass, remember, you can get it wherever you get your podcast, and, of course, obviously on terrestrial radio on Buzz 2 and 103.7 The Buzz as well. I hope you had a great week, and I hope next week is even better. And remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Shoregrass.
You have been listening to From the Shoregrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network in association with Majestic Cubby Productions.